Lord Jesus,
I thank you
that my eyes do see,
my ears do hear,
and my spirit does perceive
that this word is for me.
Amen.
Amen.
I had a little vision when I was on the floor. And you now have tasted the fruit. But earlier this morning, he pressed in that I was to go to John chapter 17. So that's where we're going. John chapter 17. And as I was driving in, praying, asking God, is there any particular part of John 17 that you want me to expound on? And he pressed in verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name. Now, if you take an understanding that the name is the nature, then you're being protected by the power of his nature, which is God being love. Not fault finding, not criticism, not all the other stuff that you use against yourself, or that others have accused you of. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your nature, the name or the nature you gave me. Isn't that cool? So that they may be one as we are one. So that they may be one as we are one. Verse 12, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me or by the nature you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. Now I'm stopping there because I want you to see protection comes by his nature. You say, well, I'm not always feeling protected. Well, I've got news for you. If you go by feelings, you're going to fail.
Amen.
But if you go by the truth of his word and remind him that his nature by his Holy Spirit is inside of each and every one of us, we then will have a new victory and understand that we are one with him. Earlier, when I was pressed to ask you to turn around, all I knew was we were all to turn around facing the wall. And obviously, being in a circle, we covered every corner of the room. And as I was praying, I heard, go lay hands on the Star of David. Well, obviously, if you're smart enough to listen, you'll obey what he tells you to do. Amen?
Amen.
So I went over and I put my hands on the Star of David. Earlier today, he had told me to hang this one up. And so that one is also a Star of David that the Lord provided quite a few years ago. And it becomes prominent in front of the pulpit. Now, if you look at the two triangles that are formed to create the Star of David, you're going to have one that looks like a pyramid heading up, and the other one like the same pyramid heading down. Why would that Star of David present such a problem to the rulers of Germany during World War I and II? Anybody got a clue? Why did they have to wear a yellow Star of David on their sleeve?
To mark that they're believers.
Well, yeah, they were identified. They were identified by a Star of David. Do you ever wonder why they were hated to such a degree by the great majority of Europeans? Has anybody figured out why they're still hated today? Did you ever consider there's a reason why they're hated today? Why is anti-Semitism still such an irritation to the rest of the world people, worldly people, and should not be to the believer? Did the Messiah come as a Gentile? Or did he come as a Jew?
He came as a Jew.
Why? And it had to be the line of David. So why is this triangle important? Because it is really a picture of you and me. We're triune being. Spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, St. Paul clearly identifies you're made up of three parts in order to manifest the Father.
What's that verse again?
1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, anybody know that Jesus is the second part of the triune God that we serve? He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three parts. Did Jesus get sent down here by God? No. Or was it somebody else's famous idea?
No, it was God. I had nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Well, Papa said, hey, boy, I've given them prophets, I've given them mighty men and mighty women, including Moses, Elijah, etc., etc., and they didn't listen. So I'll send them my son, my firstborn. And he was the fullness of the triune being of the Father sent down from heaven into the earth. And that's what we're going to be celebrating around Christmas time. So when you join the two triangles together, what have you got?
Star.
You've got the Star of David. It also identifies God and man being united so that they can become one. Why are you giggling so much?
Because that was part of the word that it's confirming the word that he gave me.
Would you mind giving it out right away?
Would you give it now?
Absolutely. We don't want to miss it.
Okay. As far as the earth is from the sky, that is the depth of my love for you. You may feel I have abandoned you, but I am as close as your next thought and breath. Grace and love abound in my presence. Release yourselves to the reality of my presence in your lives. Listen, as my heart beats, so does yours. We are in sync, in tune to each other. As the unity of my bride becomes more evident, there will be a great awakening to my direction for your lives. Right now, it appears that many in my church are doing their own thing. The church needs fine-tuning in order to become unified with each other. Not until complete unity is achieved can I fully come. Each individual must reach for their higher calling. It cannot be done for you. It must be a conscious effort on your part. In sync with me. Push forward the goal. Push toward the goal if you must, but do it. I am with you every step of the way. This new season is my timing for you. I am downloading to you all. Start afresh. It is the beginning of your complete tabernacling with me, spirit, soul, and body, as one in this season with me. A holy tabernacle is being formed within all of you for my glory, for my glory, for my glory. I thought that was the end, but then he said, your destinies are in my hands, and only those who are willing to surrender will be used for my glory according to the will of my Father. There is no room for idols in my unified bride.
If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in me, lives in me, it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives in me, lives in me, then you will.
The rest of it.
Wow.
You'll do it, though.
All right. Are you catching on? It's Romans 8. That's what that is. That's what that song said.
That's a confirmation because I got the same
Romans 8.
That's a confirmation. I got the same Romans 8 yesterday morning.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Holy Ghost. Let me give you another scripture. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I will start it as verse 29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30 is what you want to swallow. I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Watch what happens when he gives that information. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? Which brings us to, I believe, the next level. Verse 37, do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. They are one. And they're living in an earth suit. Now I want you to put your hand right on the lower part of your heart. And I want you to just close your eyes and say, Holy Spirit, would you drill a hole in my brain?
Would you drill a hole in my brain?
To make sure that I never forget this message.
To make sure I never forget this message.
That my Heavenly Father, His Spirit,
is
living inside of me. Otherwise, I couldn't be here today. I would have ran out the door. I might have seen people. Thinking and saying that they are full of God. But some of them are full of baloney. I can see by the fruit. People are getting healed. And I'm getting better every day. God is working on me. And He's not finished yet. Make yourself real to me, Lord Jesus. Because it's your nature. That's working in me. That came from my Heavenly Father. And I'm rejoicing today. That we are one.
We are one
with our Father.
In heaven.
Because He sent the Spirit down.
because he sent the Spirit down.
He didn't leave us as orphans.
He didn't leave us as orphans.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Glory to you, Jesus.
Glory to Jesus.
One more verse. John chapter 14, verse 10. John chapter 14. Because you see, I'm trying to pound something home. Did you get a notice on that? Verse 9 first. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me," verse 11. "When I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." Has anything changed?
No.
The same unbelief that operated 2,000 years ago is still pushing buttons today. And I can't say that it happens only out there. I can tell you that it happens inside of me. And I'm going to give you this piece of information that happened yesterday at the leaders meeting in South Hadley. It was postponed because of Labor Day. And then there were other circumstances, so obviously it took yesterday morning. There was a word that came out of my heart for the people and the region. And the leaders all interceded and prayed for one another as the Lord led. But then the Holy Spirit had pointed out that there was one young man who was with a friend of his, and they were kind of in the back of the room, or the church, I should say. And so I asked for an opportunity to pray for the young man. He came forward, and we all gathered around him, and I obviously led the prayer. And as I was praying for him, I started off in my heavenly language, but then it transferred over into English. And I heard my mouth say, I stress that, I heard my mouth say, "Well, you've had a couple of dreams, and in those dreams, there is a clear direction of what you're supposed to do, but you have bowed to fear. And you're now in a place of decision making." And as those words came out, the tears started to flow. And I stopped because my head got in the way. And I said to him, "Is this true?" And he took a deep breath and he responded, "Yes, it is." So I proceeded to say more. I don't remember what that was. That's between him and the Lord. After we got done with the service, I went over to him because now the Holy Spirit says one-to-one is what needs to go. So I went back over to him. And I asked if we could go a little bit deeper. And his friend was next to him. So we stayed in the church for a few extra minutes while others went out for coffee. And then he said to me, "Do you remember you prophesied that I would have dreams quite a few years ago when I was a boy?" And I said, "No, I don't remember that." He said, "Well, the dreams did come and have come. And yes, it's been a tough walk. Now he's all of 17. What does that say to you? God was working through me several years ago. I don't remember the young man as far as, you know, he might have been 14, 15, whatever. And the Holy Spirit took a hold of my mouth then. Gave a prophetic word. Yesterday was the confirming of that word twice over. Giving him clear direction of what he's supposed to do. Is that the nature of man, or is that the nature of our Heavenly Father? Yeah. Anybody remember the Christmas story that Joseph was told in a dream, go get Mary and bring her home? Because he wanted to divorce her. A second dream comes when he's already born, and the kings have come to visit and brought gifts. And the next day, the same God gives Joseph another dream. Get him out of the country because the king wants to kill him. If the Father, by his Holy Spirit, was pressing Joseph and Mary to go out of a country to bring Jesus into Egypt, so that he would be safe. Is he capable of making you and me have a dream to wake us up? Mm-hmm. Yes, he's capable. Now, I'm not saying it's the only way he talks to people. But it sure was fascinating on my way home yesterday to just give thanks. Because that kid gave me a hug. I wasn't looking for any compliment. But the victory of being obedient, taking the words that came out of my mouth and checking to make sure that it was the Holy Spirit speaking through me. Now, it's one thing to talk about King David and the Star of David. It's something else to talk about the Word of God, and it could be foreign to you. Because sometimes there's different scriptures that come alive in different seasons in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And when they come alive, God wants those words to come alive so that they will act and react in different individuals, including yourself. And I would dare to have you pray today. So if you would just lift up one hand to the Lord and close your eyes, and say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I want to see,
I want to see
you,
you
confirm yourself through me,
confirm yourself through me
with signs and wonders,
with signs and wonders,
maybe a word of knowledge,
maybe a word of
maybe
knowledge,
a dream,
maybe a dream,
but get through to me,
but get through to me.
You know, sometimes I could be stubborn. I stress the word could be stubborn. I don't want it to stop me from getting mature and obey the Holy Ghost. Recognize that Jesus' nature is inside of me.
And my Heavenly Father
has released His Spirit
inside my heart.
So devil, get a clue. If somebody picks up a stone and tries to stone me,
it's not uncommon.
Because Papa is alive in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that you have a home
in this temple.
And you're not done yet.
You've got a work that you're doing.
Don't stop, Lord. Keep getting through to bless those that I hold in my heart, for there are many. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I saw your face.
But I'd like to share something else.